Good afternoon, and welcome to Duke in Ultim, which means Go Out into the Deep, a one-hour program hosted by Rita Lane. Join us as we take up our nets and follow Jesus into the depths of the abundant life.
Good afternoon. Welcome, welcome. I'm Rita Halk Lane, your host for the next half hour. Please join me as we seek to a deeper, more intimate relationship with Jesus. And may the Lord richly bless our time together. Welcome, welcome. I hope you're doing well. I'm getting over a cold, so hopefully I won't have any trouble getting through the show today. My throat's a little funky. But anyway, God bless you, God bless you, God bless you. Anyway, I missed you last week. I was supposed to be at the golf outing, but then I ended up sick, so I couldn't go and infect everybody there. So I missed it, but I heard it was wonderful, and thank you for your support and all your donations and to the golfers who made it possible. And we're really, really grateful for anything and everything that you did for us. I saw on Thursday night a movie that a lot of people didn't even know was happening, and it was for it was just one night, and was called Triumph Over Evil, Battle of the Exorcists. And it was made by exorcists, and they told the facts about exorcisms and a lot of information about the devil and how he works and how they work, and they take no credit for anything that they do, because it's really the power of God working in them that accomplishes an exorcism or any of the kind of things that they do to combat evil. They also talked about ways that you can avoid evil and avoid being influenced by demons and that sort of thing. And one of the things that I loved at the end of it, he said that and I think I've shared this with you before, because I've been to a lot of retreats with exorcist priests, how the evil ones cannot stand the Blessed Mother. If you say Mary, Mother of Jesus, or anything like that, they cringe, they can't stand it, and they hate the rosary. Because if you know anything about the rosary, some of you don't, the rosary is a series of prayers where you meditate actually on the life of Jesus. It's very centered on Jesus Christ. So they hate that with a passion. And also, our Blessed Mother gave us the rosary because anyone and everyone can pray it. You don't have to be sitting down. You don't have to be in a group. You can be praying the rosary when you're doing laundry. You can be praying the rosary when you're waiting on the telephone for a client. You can pray the rosary anytime, anywhere, just about. And so it's the prayer for everyone. And it really is a good focus point for us to meditate on the life of Christ. So they talked about how powerful the rosary is. And the saints have all prayed the rosary regularly and declared the same thing. They've had many of their prayers answered through the rosary, and many miraculous things have happened through the rosary. So, you know, and also a lot of Protestants, or I should say non-Catholic Christians, are now praying the rosary because they're starting to realize that it's really not a weird prayer. It's really a lovely, calming, meditative prayer to focus on Jesus. It's really lovely. Anyway, 2 weeks ago, I shared about the Philadelphia Catholic Women's Conference, And near the end of the show, I shared what Father Loomis had said to us about how the devil and his demons worked up the people of the French Revolution and its effects on the people he used in the revolution, and how destructive it can be, it was, and can be even for us and society if we go the devil's way. It was very interesting, and I enjoyed it very much. Of course, he was really speaking about the Dominican sisters in Compiègne who were martyred for their faith, and during the French Revolution, near the end of it, and the sisters had come to realize that a prophecy about their order was coming true, that they were going to be martyred and it would end a war. And sure enough, after they were martyred, there was an end to the French Revolution. So he tied that with how the devil can get us into a mob mentality when we start listening to lies, or we allow ourselves to develop deep anger that turns into something really destructive, especially when we get together with other people and it grows and grows. The evil one can really influence us in that way. Anyway, I shared that, and then I was talking a little bit about the spiritual warfare study that I'm leading at my parish. And I believe that the people of God, we all have lived long enough in ignorance of the spiritual battle being fought around us and in us, and the amazing power that God has available for us to fight and be victorious. He has already provided for us the tools to diminish the evil influences in our lives, our families' lives, our world's lives, So I want to, I'm glad I listened to Anne in the last hour, because she was talking about the evil one. And so since the Lord wanted me to talk about it and wanted her to talk about it, that means that he really wants us to pay attention. So I'm going to share a few things with you. In our study at St. Pius, we're using Dan Burke's book, Spiritual Warfare and the Discernment of Spirits. This book helps us. It's like an introduction to spiritual warfare. It helps us examine our lives and look back at our past and our weaknesses and our challenges that keep coming back to us and lead us down the wrong roads and or cripple us emotionally or spiritually, to look at those things and see how the evil one has used those things throughout our lives to, and still can be using them, to torment us, to tempt us to go in the wrong direction and do the things that he wants us to do instead of what God wants us to do. And this book helps us to become aware of what's going on in our own personal lives and to deal with that in a constructive way, the way that we can, with the tools, the powerful tools that God has provided for us. And also, once we learn this, we can help others. We can be healed of those injuries, and the power of the evil one to use them against us diminishes or goes away completely. And then we can pray for others and intercede in their lives in ways perhaps that will help them to be aware of what's going on and to fight those battles. So Jesus has already won the victory. So we just need to tap into his power and his ways of dealing with that. But I want to read to you something here. What Jesus said about Satan and what the Bible says about Satan, just briefly. This is Jesus Christ now, the Son of God, saying this. He spoke a lot about the evil one. So if if we choose to ignore what he said, then it is at our own risk and peril. This is him. All right. He called him the enemy, the evil one, the prince of this world, a liar, the father of lies, a murderer. He says he saw him fallen from heaven. He has a kingdom. Evil men are his sons. He sowed tares among the wheat in the field. And you'll have to look up what that is in Matthew 13. I don't have time to explain it to you. He snatches God's word from hearers. He bound a woman for 18 years. Desired to have St. Peter. Has angels. And eternal fire is prepared for her, for him. Other names in Scripture is the tempter, source of demonical possession, puts the betrayal in the heart of Judas, perverts Scriptures, is a prince of the power of the air, fashions himself into an angel of light. He is our adversary. And it goes on and on and on. There's two pages of names and things about him. He was the seducer of Adam and Eve. He will flee if we resist him, etc., etc. Google it. What Jesus said about Satan. Okay? And I wanted you to hear that before I go on, because it's a very real battle that's going on. And I want to share with you two Bible scripture references that I already shared with you once before, but I'm going to lay the groundwork for what's coming, okay? In Revelations 12, it says, "Then war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels battled against the dragon. The dragon and its angels fought back. But they did not prevail, and there was no longer any place for them in heaven. The huge dragon, the ancient serpent, who is called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world, was thrown down to earth, and its angels were thrown down with it. When the dragon saw that it had been thrown down to the earth, it pursued the woman," he's talking about Mary, the mother of Jesus, "he pursued the woman who had given birth to the male child. Then the dragon became angry with the woman and went off to wage war against the rest of her offspring, those who keep God's commandments and bear witness to Jesus." Christians, my friends. "He went off to wage war against the rest of her offspring, those who keep God's commandments and bear witness to Jesus." That's us. He is in a war against us. We cannot ignore it. And then in Ephesians 6, St. Paul says, "Finally, draw your strength from the Lord and from his mighty power. Put on the armor of God so that you may be able to stand firm against the tactics of the devil. For our struggle is not with flesh and blood, but with the principalities, with the powers, with the world rulers of this present darkness, the evil spirits." This is serious. We have to take it seriously, but we do not have to be afraid. And that's why I want to share with you the things I'm learning, because it will help all of us to diminish the evil that's around us and in the world. And it will absolutely give us hope and joy and just peace of mind. And many things that we don't have right now, because we don't realize what's going on. And we don't realize the tools that God has already made available to us to win this battle. Okay. So I want to start with the basics, though. And every day, every single day, we get inspirations that affect our thoughts, our words, and our actions. It's a little seed of thought, or we'll see something and we'll think, you know, there's always inspirations. Okay, so I want to share with you what it says in here, in the book that we are studying, Dan Burke's book. he has, on page 31, he tells us where inspirations come from. There's three places that inspirations come from. Okay? Number one, the good spirits, the spirits of God. Okay? These good spirits cause consolations and seek to lead us to God, to the good, and away from selfishness, to union with God, and ultimately to heaven. These spirits are dispatched by God and only seek our good. Okay? Then the second inspirations come from the bad spirits. The bad spirits cause desolation. They lead us to the loves of the world, the flesh, our passions, the devil, selfishness, and ultimately hell. These spirits only seek to do us harm. In this movie, Triumph Over Evil, one of the exorcist priests talks about how when the evil one rejected God, he rejected love, and he rejected kindness, he rejected good, he is pure evil. And so he tries to kill love, kill the good in us. And he has no joy, he has no good in him, no love. So he does not love us, he hates us, he's filled with hate, and he is determined to ruin our lives. But we, again, have the good spirits that we can listen to, and the tools of God. All right. So we've got the good spirits, number one. The bad spirits, they want to do us harm. Good spirits want to do us good. Bad spirits want to do us harm. And then the third, you might be surprised, is ourselves. Our sensual appetites, sicknesses, addictions, wrong beliefs, desires, strengths, weaknesses, and diseases due to original sin can cause many kinds of non-spiritual consolation and desolation. And your own makeup, your own being, who you are, can also amplify spiritual consolation and desolation. So, excuse me, they can, the good can inspire, we can talk ourselves into things that are not good, thinking that they are, because of our passions, because of our political persuasions, because of our family life, etc. And we can also talk ourselves into sadness and sin and temptation and evil. And so we need to know how to tell the difference. Is it the Lord and his good, our good angels? Is it the evil one and his bad angels? Or is it just my own preferences? Okay? And so there is an effective... Sorry, I keep coughing. There is an effective process to this discernment between those three things. And what we have to do, first of all, is we have to be aware that this battle is real. We need to recognize the forces that are at play on a daily basis for and against our holiness, our peace, and our progress to God. We need to be able to see. We need to have clear sight of what's going on and be able to see the good and the bad, and know in ourselves what are we cooperating with, the good or the bad. And I wanted to share with you, years ago when I first became Catholic, I have a book called The Ministry of Intercession by Andrew Murray. And it talks about how important our prayers are to the world. And it's a really good little primer on how to begin to intercede for other people and for the world, even for yourself. And in the back, there's a 31-day daily help where you each day, he gives you something else to pray for. And in addition to what you might have already thought about. And it's really good. I love it. I still use it. And one of the days, I can't remember the exact wording, but it said, you know, pray that evil will be overcome, that the strength of the evil one will be diminished, and that there'll be more peace in the world, and that sort of thing. And at that time, you know, the world was very different then. That was 26 years ago. And things were pretty good. You didn't have people just shooting people for the heck of it when they robbed a store. There wasn't so much crime. We were just talking in the office a little while ago. You could go walking on wooded trails and not worry for your life. It was just a different time, and things were pretty good. I knew there was evil around, but so I prayed. I said, Lord, open my eyes that I can see, because either I'm blind or things aren't so bad, but I still pray for them to be better. Well, he answered my prayer, and I started to see. My eyes were open, my ears were open, my heart was opened. I began to see things that I had never seen before, and to realize some things that I was blind to. And it really opened up my eyes to the evil that was around me. And that's what we have to pray for. Because with our culture, we have a lot of things going on around us. And sometimes we're so busy that we become kind of blind, you know, to what's going on. And we have to pray that the Lord will show us, not to scare us. No, not to scare us, but to help us to pray effectively and bring healing to those things, because we can by the grace of God. Okay, it's His work. We are His instruments. Okay, that's the way He chose it to be. We don't understand why He chose us to do His work, but He did. Okay, so anyway, we have to be aware that the battle is real. We need to see. We need to recognize what's going on. Okay? And then we need to understand, to accurately interpret these forces at play in and around us. The evil one cannot read your mind, but he sure as heck can plant thoughts in your brain. He's been watching you your whole life. He knows your strengths, your weaknesses, your loves, your hates, your challenges. He knows everything. And he can plant thoughts in your mind and use other people to torment you and to bring those things to light and really, really make you life difficult. But when we realize what's going on and understand where this is coming from, then we can take appropriate action. The third thing. First thing was be aware. Second, understand. Third, take appropriate action. In other words, if we determine that there's some badness going on, there's some bad spirits or something influencing us, that's not good, we can resist it. We can turn away from it. We can disarm it. Okay? And if it's good spirits that we have determined, we can embrace those movements and we can go with them with the power of God and the strength and the armor of God just out into our everyday lives and be more effective, less troubled. Okay, so we see that in Scripture, the evil one is real. And so we don't want to be ignorant anymore about that. And, you know, the number one thing that the evil one tries to do is to make us believe that he does not exist. Then we become really vulnerable. Really vulnerable. If you get a chance to see that movie, Triumph Over Evil, by The Exorcist, I really, really, really urge you to watch it. It was not scary. It was informative, but it was not scary. They had a couple of people simulate, you know, to protect the innocent, to simulate a possession. But it was fascinating, all the information you got from it. And it was empowering and inspiring. And there's a lot to it that we can learn from. Okay. I have to take a break in a second, so I don't want to go into Father Loomis at the Philadelphia Catholic Women's Conference. He shared some more things with us, and I want to share them with you because I found them helpful. Obviously, if you really think about it, they're logical, you know, makes sense. But he offered them to us to remind us and to instruct us in case we didn't know about it. And I really, really want to share that with you because it goes right along with the study that we're doing at St. Pius. So, I'll share a couple of more names with you, or things about the evil one. Deceiver of the whole world. Paul, he was Paul's thorn in the flesh. Hindered Paul's missionary plans. Non-believers are under his power. He blinds the minds of unbelievers. He creates false teachers, and he can even produce false miracles. There's many things he can do, so it's good to know how to combat this, how to make a difference, to bring the good in. So don't go away. Stay with me. I'll be right back. God bless you.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We often think of the scripture where the disciples were walking to Emmaus, where they said, "Were not our hearts burning within us as Jesus spoke to us on the road?" As we travel along the road together in our Archdiocese of Philadelphia and Camden Diocese, we thank God for our loyal circle of family and friends. Please consider sponsoring one of our new programs in the name of your parish priest, family member, or friend. It would be a beautiful way of helping us to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Give us a call at 610-527-2906 or visit us on the web at inhissign.com.
Well, welcome back. I'm Rita Hawk Lane, your host for the next half hour. We've been talking about all the power we have in as believers to combat evil in this day and age. Okay, maybe we don't understand that evil is alive and well on planet Earth. And so anyway, I'm trying to help you because I'm leading a group on spiritual warfare at my parish. And 2 weeks ago, Father Loomis at the Philadelphia Catholic Women's Conference was talking to us about this very thing briefly. And so I want to share with you what he said, because it goes along with what our book says, but it also is very encouraging. Okay, he said there are basic, in order to be effective warriors in the spiritual warfare, there are basic requirements that we need to embrace and able to be in order to be strong and effective in this battle, and to be able to discern when we're being attacked by the evil one versus our own imagination and where the good is, so we can follow that. We need that discernment. But there's basic requirements that we need to embrace in order to do that. And he shared with us what those things are. But I wanted, first of all, I want you to realize this is not, this show is not about the evil one, to glorify him or make you think he's really super powerful. He is, but God is God. He is not a God. The evil one is not a God. He is a powerful angel who fell. He's not even an angel anymore. He's a demon who has fallen from grace and has terrible, terrible designs for the human race. But he, evil, does not and will not have the final word. All of his antics are surrounded by God's plan for our salvation. He thinks he can get us, but if we know what he's doing, we can fight him and he won't get us. An exorcist priest that I heard speak a couple of years ago or so said that if you are a Christian, a baptized Christian, living in the state of grace, not doing any serious sins, trying to live a good, obedient life, following the teachings of the church, following, going to confession, all those sort of things. If you are in good standing, it's almost impossible for you to get possessed. So that's really encouraging. But you sure can be hounded and aggravated. So, evil does not have and will not have the final say, the final stand. Jesus has already defeated him. He's just waiting for more people to come to Jesus before he stops all the evil in the world. He doesn't want to stop and put an end to all of this, because there's too many people will still be lost. All right. So, basic requirements to become a good warrior and effective. Father Loomis said, have an authentic yes in our hearts to God. An authentic, saying yes to God authentically. It's not enough to merely know about him and to even practice our faith. We must know him intimately. And you get to know him intimately through Mass, through scriptures, through prayer, etc. We will talk about that in the weeks to come. But it's not enough to merely know about God and to even practice our faith. We need to know him intimately, to have an authentic yes in our hearts. The two most important things we must do for our yes in our heart is, number one, the sacrament of Holy Eucharist, which is union with Jesus Christ, fed with the most powerful food and support in the world for our faith. And then he says, 2, regular confession. Not only do we get official forgiveness of sins, we also get super abundant grace to help us avoid sin and to see sin more clearly. Right. Number 3, daily prayer. In other words, by being in daily prayer, we are being receptive to God, who is always speaking. In prayer, receptive to God, who is always speaking. Our prayer time, he says, should be scheduled and a priority, because Jesus truly does speak in the silence of our hearts. Without that silence, even if it's just a few minutes, is something we have to be determined to build into our lives. Until we get used to being able to tune out the noise around us. Because once we get used to spending time in prayer with him, you can't tune out things. And it's almost like you are in silence. Okay, so in the silence of our hearts, God speaks. Too much busyness and noise make it impossible to hear his voice and to discern if the inspirations we are receiving come from God or from the devil. I'll read that again. Too much busyness and noise make it impossible to hear his voice, God's voice, and to discern if the inspirations we are receiving come from God or the devil. Daily prayer really impacts our lives because we are regularly exposed to Jesus as we pray in a special way. There's a scripture that says, come away, my beloved. Come away, my beloved. That's God speaking to you and to me. Come away, my beloved. Spend that time. Okay. Once we're doing those three basic things, once we are saying yes authentically in our hearts, taking advantage of the sacraments of Holy Eucharist and confession, and practicing daily prayer, then we can start to discern the inspirations that we are receiving. You might think it's just a thought that came into your mind, but sometimes it's more than that. Sometimes it's a hint from God. Hey, maybe you don't want to do that, or maybe you want to do this. This would be awesome if you would do this. Or it's the evil one saying, you don't have to be that good. You know, you're not a saint. You don't want to be a saint. That's no fun, which is total lie. Prince of Liars. Anyway, we must pray for clarity in discerning the good and bad, because the evil one is clever. He lies a lot. He's tricky. He cloaks his evil in truth. I told you last time, go and read his and Eve's interactions. But start with what God says to Adam and Eve on how to live in grace with him. Then look at how the evil one twists it and changes it to where it's not the truth anymore, but it sounds right. That's what he does to us, okay? And often he uses what is called the end justifies the means. All the time he uses that. He'll whisper, your goal or what you want is good and helpful. You must get it done no matter what you have to say or do. Lie, steal, kill, destroy, etc. The good end that you're working toward justifies whatever you must do to get it. Just think of the benefits that are going to come from that that you are attempting to do, that you want to bring to others, or you want to bring into your life. He will do that to you all the time. He does it to me. He will do that to you too. The end justifies the means. That's not the way God works. We are always to do things the right way and leave the results to God, because it's His battle, really. And we are just doing what our job is, and that is to do right, to work for the good, work for justice, work for beauty and love and all the good things in life, and let Him make those things happen. When we get off course and we try to be our own little gods and we want something to happen, this is happening in the political sphere a lot. It's like, okay, this has to happen, so I'm going to use whatever means to make that happen. I'm going to cheat, lie, steal, destroy. I'm going to do whatever I have to do. And a lot of that came in the political sphere, came from Saul Alinsky and his book, Rules for Radicals, dedicated to the first, most accomplished radical, the devil. The book was dedicated to him, because he had the courage to rebel against God. Can you imagine? Anyway, so we need clarity. We need to pray for that. Help me to see, Lord, what are the sins in my life so I can turn away from them? What are the injuries in my life that the evil one preys on me with and keeps me separated from others, keeps me down on myself, or whatever, and you know, leads me astray with? What are those things in my life? Please, Lord, give me clarity. Help me to see. Okay? And so, and He will. He will. So I want to share with you from the Gospel of John, Chapter 14, Jesus promised peace to us. He promised that to us. He said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give it to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled or afraid." If we do not have peace, and I mean, no one's ever in perfect peace, okay? If we do not have peace, there are reasons for it. But the evil one and his demons are responsible for a great deal of our and the world's lack of peace. And we need to be aware of that. Because we as baptized believers already have the ability to recognize, if our eyes are open, resist with the power of God, and overcome the devil's attacks by the power of God. And while we must be aware of the battle, take it seriously, understand the tactics of the evil one, and then resist him, we really, truly must focus on the fact that Jesus, not the power of the evil one, is the victorious one. Jesus is the victorious one, not the evil one. The devil is, as I said before, a powerful angel or demon, nowhere near as powerful as God is. Nowhere near. We're on the right side, my brothers and sisters. We're on the right side. And if you aren't, if you haven't made a commitment to the Lord, I ask you to do that. I ask you to go to the local Catholic church and say, how do I get right with God? And if you can't go to a Catholic church, go to the closest Christian church. How do I get right with God? And try with all your heart to do that. Be baptized. Pray. Go to church. Read the Bible. Follow God's ways. And especially, if you can, become Catholic, because we have the Holy Eucharist, communion, where Jesus truly is present to us in a special way. And extraordinary grace from that, and extraordinary unity with Christ and grace, and extraordinary grace through confession. My Lutheran pastor, I was Lutheran before I became Catholic, he told us one time, there's, you know, we don't have confession in our church, but I wish we did. Because he said, I imagine that there's nothing in the world more wonderful than a man of God telling you that God has forgiven you. That God has forgiven you. Because the priest is what they call in persona Christi. He represents Jesus. And he is the instrument that Jesus uses. Yes, we can pray for forgiveness on our own, but going to the sacrament of confession, sacrament of reconciliation, there's extraordinary grace in that. It's powerful. It's powerful. And the Lord imparts that grace to us through the priest. They are his instruments of grace. And trust me, it's really true. It's really true. So, anyway, I've seen the effects in my own life. It's incredible. So, anyway, again, I just wanted to share with you that we are focusing on the evil one, only to learn about him, not to glorify him, not to empower him, etc. Only to be able to use our weapons from God to weaken him and to sometimes drive him away. In the movie, it talked about don't be speaking to the devil. That is especially like in a, don't be speaking with the devil. In an exorcism, the devil will try to talk. And there are usually some laity persons there, people like you and me, who have been trained to assist the exorcist priest in the exorcisms. And they will try, the evil ones will try to engage with the non-exorcist priest persons. And you are not to engage with him. Eve engaged with him in the garden, talked with him. Should have turned away and walked away. Because that interaction with him, he's clever as all get out. He can trick us into being full of sin in a heartbeat. So we are not to speak in conversation with him. But we can certainly, by the power of God, command him to leave a space, to get out of our arguments, etc., etc. And we'll learn more about that as time goes on. I hope you'll join me every Monday as I share with you what I'm learning, because it's powerful. I have really been exposed over the last 5 years to a lot of this information, and it's powerful, and everyone needs to know about it. Everyone needs to know about it. So anyway, I want to share with you something that the priest said that I believe I shared last week, but it's something that we really need to be aware of. The devil works primarily through our thoughts. He plants seeds. He conceives a seed of thought in our brain, and he feeds that, waters that seed as time goes by, and we can either discern what it is and reject it, or we can let that little seed grow and grow and grow until the next thing you know, one little step at a time, we're in trouble. It's primarily through our thoughts. That's why so many things are dangerous, like pornography, like drugs. Oh, I want to feel better, so I'm going to take this. It won't hurt. Or, you know, that beautiful woman. Oh, wow. You know, I'm gonna imagine that I'm with her. These are the seeds he plants that get us addicted, that get us going down the wrong road. Oh, I don't really have to worry about doing that because I'm a Christian, and you know I can dabble in these things. It might make my faith deeper to practice witchcraft or something. You know, we have to be really careful. That's why it's so important to learn how to discern this and to be in the right spiritual condition to be able to do that. And like we said before, you know, I'm going to repeat it because you really need to know. This is too important to put on the back burner. Say an authentic yes to God. Really mean it. I choose to believe in you. I choose your way. I choose to live as your partner in this world, as your child, your of the Most High God, to live in union with you in any way that I can, to obey you. It's good to obey the Father God who created you and knows what's best for you. There's no better way to live. No better way. And I know a lot of you are out there saying, well, you know, you Christians don't do a very good job representing him. Well, that's true. The church is not there for perfectionists, for perfect people. It's there for people just like you and me who are not perfect, who can learn about God's love and be filled with God's love and go out and live the best life we can. Flawed, but still working, you know. So anyway, give an authentic yes to God in our heart. He wants our hearts out. Not just our minds, he wants our hearts. And go to the sacraments, Holy Eucharist and Confession, regularly. Do not miss Mass. You are weakening yourself beyond all imagination by missing Mass on Sundays. Go more often if you can. Take it from someone who wasn't raised with it. The more you go, the more amazing life is. The strength and power of it. And confession, again, superb graces. And daily prayer. Prayer is one of the most important things you can do in life. The Lord is pouring out a spirit of prayerfulness on the world. It has been going on now for about 10 or 15 years, and it's growing and growing and growing. Do not ignore the grace that he's pouring out on the world, calling us to a deeper prayer life. And in that deeper prayer life, he lives. He lives in that deeper prayer life, waiting for you to touch base with him, and he will do the rest. Okay? And so, I want you to, want to share with you in reference to the evil one working in our thoughts. I want to share with you what St. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. For although we are in the flesh, human beings, we do not battle according to the flesh. Battle. For the weapons of our battle are not of flesh, but are enormously powerful, capable of destroying fortresses. We destroy arguments and every pretension raising itself against the knowledge of God, and take every thought captive in obedience to Christ. Every thought captive in obedience to Christ. When we become aware of what's going on, when we get the little hints from the evil one, we'll recognize it right away. And we can take that thought captive and rebuke it and throw it out and ask the Holy Spirit to come in and heal that and to renew us in the right thoughts. You know, he's far more clever than we imagine. Far more clever. And in the next few weeks, I'm going to be sharing with you what is... hold on a second, I missed a page. That's weird. I don't know what happened to it. But anyway, before I go, I want to tell you what discernment really is, to be able to identify a good or bad spirit or our own thought processes. And Dan Burke says, to discern is to understand and decide on a course of action. Understand and decide on a course of action regarding the inspirations that influence our thoughts, words, and deeds, either towards God and heaven or towards the evil one and hell. St. John in his first epistle said, beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are of God. St. Paul warned of the same need in his first letter to the Thessalonians, where he admonished the church to test everything. Hold fast to what is good. In 1 Corinthians 12, he says, we have the discernment of spirits listed as a gift of the Holy Spirit. Discernment of spirits is a gift of the Holy Spirit. We already have these weapons in our arsenal to be aware of what's going on and to be able to fight it. And it says here, clearly this is something the Holy Spirit desires that we pursue with all diligence in order to understand the forces that seek to influence us, human, divine, and demonic. So, the Lord is good. He wants us to have peace and happiness and good relationships. So please come back in the next few weeks as I share more of what I'm learning from exorcists and from Dan Burke in his book about discernment of spirits and having joy in the Lord. God bless you. Please pray for me. I'm praying for you. Oh, and our network. God bless you. Bye-bye.